Well, I don't know about wrapping it all up, but I've been really blessed being here. And just to see the vision and the spirit for Christian education, that really blesses me. I was involved in homeschool conventions and really enjoyed those years and the relationships that we had there. And it's been very dear to my heart for Christian education. And to see the desire to continue on and to keep that vision alive and to keep that source of education available for our children blesses my heart. So now, you're here, and I think there's a lot of school board members, teachers, and ministry and different ones, you're here. And so you've been elected to this committee, to this board, and you didn't campaign for it. You didn't go out and put out flyers and saying you would be a good board member and you ought to vote for me or whatever. So you didn't ask for this responsibility, but it's laid on your shoulders. And now you're finding out it's requiring quite a bit of time. You've taken off 2 days, 3 days, whatever, of work to come to this meeting. You have your board meetings, you have your parent-teachers meetings, you have all these different things that you need to go to. And it takes some time, it takes energy, it takes even some of your hard-earned money. But you give yourself to it. You feel that, the church has called me, my brothers have asked me to do this, so I'm going to do the best that I can. So you give yourself to it, you throw yourself into it, pour your heart into it, and you just do the best you know how. But then you start receiving some ridicule. And there's some parents become critical. And they start talking, you know, saying, well, boy, you're just not doing a very good job. And the school's in the condition it is because you haven't done your part. And, you know, if you would just do it this way or if you would have done it that way, it wouldn't have turned out this way. And my son and daughter could do better, and on it could go. And so you're grappling with those things, and you got this ridicule coming into your life and into your thoughts. And then the devil comes in and brings these thoughts into your mind that, well, you know, it seems like nobody even cares. You know, I've invested all this time. I study. I prepare. I try to do the best that I can. I seek advice. They don't care. They don't even care about the Christian Day School. They don't even care much about even come to the parent-teachers meeting. And here I'm investing my life into this. I don't even receive any appreciation. Now what do you do? Let's turn to Galatians chapter 5. I'd like to read verse 13 to 26 here. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in this one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, and revelings, and the such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering or patience, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, or self-control. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another and envying one another. And so, what do you do when you come, when these thoughts come into your mind and you have these things going on in your life? How do you keep on serving? How do you keep on going? Well, the scriptures tell us that we are to, by love, serve one another. And if we bite and devour one another, we're going to be consumed. The work is going to go to naught. And so we need to love. And this word love that's used here, that Paul used here, by love, serve one another, is agape. And that love is the divine, unselfish, willing to sacrifice kind of love. So the scripture is telling me that as these things come into my life, I'm still supposed to serve with that divine love. I'm willing to sacrifice. I'm willing to bear that. Because I have a love, first of all, for God and for my fellow men. And the word serve in the Greek, I can't pronounce it, but it means to slave to be a slave to be a servant or to serve and to submit. So by love, be a slave to one another. Jesus also said in Luke 13:35, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one for another." Romans 13:8, "Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law." Love, verse 10, "Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore love is the fulfilling of the law." Galatians 5:14, the last part of the verse there says, "Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." Now, most of us don't have any problem or need instruction on loving ourselves. We take good care of ourselves. And so Jesus and the scriptures tell us that we need to love others as we love this guy, as we love ourselves. John 13:34, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you." Oh, now Jesus says you need to love one another. You need to love those that are critical of you. You need to love those that are talking about you, those that are not appreciating you, those that are not even telling you thank you. You're to love them as Jesus loved you. And then 1 John 4:11, "Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to also love one another." Think about that. And I think that's what we need to think about as we face these circumstances, these kind of circumstances, as we face these difficulties, and the temptation comes to start feeling sorry for ourselves. That's exactly what happens. You know, "Well, I've done all this. I put all this time in and I don't receive appreciation. Nobody cares. I'll just quit. Whenever election time comes up, I'm not serving again. Whatever. Or I'll just walk out." What kind of love is that? We're called to love God and others as Christ loved us. And he manifested that love by serving us. How do we know Jesus loves me? Because how he serves us, what he did for us. He took our place on the cross. He gave his lifeblood for those of us that had turned our backs on him. The scriptures tell us that he did this when we were yet in our sins. We were unlovely. I think it's in one of the Old Testaments, in Isaiah maybe, where it talks about how Jesus came and we were as this unwanted child that's laying in its blood and it's laying by the roadside. And Jesus came along, he took us, he washed us, and he nurtured us, and he brought us to life. Jesus did that because he loved us. He serves us by his love. And we are to serve one another with that same kind of love. Therefore, our call to love God and others is a call to serve. Jesus exemplified that in John 13, verse 14, when he washed the disciples' feet. He said then, if I am your Lord and Master and have washed your feet, ye ought to wash one another's feet. In other words, I'm your Lord and Master and I'm serving you. I'm doing this lowly, humble deed that is supposed to be done by the lowest servant. I'm doing that. Now go do likewise. Go serve. So even when I'm being criticized and unappreciated for what I'm doing, I'm still supposed to go serve them? So I'd like to think just a little bit. Can we serve God and others without love? You know, I think all of us would say, well, we love. We love one another. God has commanded us. And he said that we can't be his disciple unless we love one another. And so surely I love. I do love. But I'd like you to think just a little bit. Why are you here today? Or why do you give your time or effort in service as a teacher, a board member, or in any other kind of voluntary service? Why do you do it? Is it for the acceptance? Is it for the praise? Is it for those pat on the backs and saying, thank you, I really appreciate what you're doing? You're doing a great job. Do we do it for that? Or maybe to feel good about ourselves. Or to justify some self-time. You know, if I go into service for a year or 2 years, or if I go teach school for a couple years, if I do that before I get married and settle down, well, then I can just live my life the way I want. I did my service. Do you ever get those thoughts? Ever go through your mind? If I just do some of these things, well, then I can have time to myself. I can justify some recreation or self-time or pleasure, whatever it is. I can kind of live for myself as long as I serve for a period of time or do some service. You know, human beings, we like to feel important. And if we just listen to our children, or the children in school, the small children in school, you just listen to them as they talk about what they want to be when they grow up. And it's interesting, but I think a lot of times we hear, well, I want to be a policeman. I want to be a firefighter. I want to drive an ambulance. I want to be a nurse. I want to be a doctor. I want to be a pilot. I want to be a big equipment operator. It's all those important jobs. You know, that's what I want to be. So this nature is inborn in each of us to desire importance, to be looked up to, and to be accepted. But that focus, whenever we have that, our eyes are turned inward rather than on others. It tends to that. Whenever if we let that desire grow, or we let that stay in there, it will turn our eyes inward, and we want to serve ourselves rather than others. I'll serve for what it does for me. That's kind of our fleshly, that's our natural desire. I'll serve, I'll do this for what I get out of it. Whether it be praise or monetary value or whatever it might be, or acceptance, I'll do it for what it gives to me. But that's the exact opposite of how God is asking us to serve. God is asking us to serve out of love. But I believe ever since the first temptation there in the Garden of Eden, and one of the brothers mentioned that already, but Satan come to Eve and he said, if you will do this, if you will partake of this fruit, you will be like gods. And you'll be able to do what you want. You'll be in control. You'll be important. You'll be as gods. And that, the devil still uses that temptation. So we can start out right. We can start out good. And we want to give ourselves in service to God because of what he's done for us. We love him. We appreciate what he's done for us. And we want to serve him with all of our heart. But right away, when there's some difficulties come in, or things are maybe going well, and people are really appreciating what we're doing, we can be lifted up in pride, or we can be put down in discouragement. But either one of those is of the flesh. And here in Galatians, in verse 24, they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. And Paul is talking about in this first part, if we go back to the first part of this chapter, he's talking about them. A bunch of the Galatians were trying to go back into the law, trying to keep the law. And he was talking to them about the freedom they have in Christ. They are now free, and they're to serve out of love instead of out of necessity. And under the law, they served, they did these sacrifices, they kept all of these days, they did it for acceptance. They did it to be approved as a part of Israel, as an Israelite, or as a people of God. And God had asked them to do that. And so in their obedience, they were doing that. But much of it was for that acceptance instead of out of love for God. It was for that approval and acceptance instead of out of love for God. And so I believe the Satan still brings that same temptation to us. And if we go back to 1 Corinthians 13, 1 to 3, the Apostle Paul says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I'm becoming a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I'm nothing. And though I bestow all of my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not love, it profiteth me nothing. So God says we can do all this great service, but if the flesh is still alive, and it's not being done out of love, that divine self-sacrificing love, if we're not serving out of that, then it's useless. It's like a tingling cymbal. It's just worthless. So we need to make sure that our spirit and our heart stays right, that we're not allowing ourselves to be serving without love. So how do we do that? How do we serve one another by love? Well, I think first of all, we need to check our heart. We need to go right in here to the heart, because in Proverbs 13:10, the scriptures tell us only by pride cometh contention. So when there's this contention, this fighting, this devouring one another, this discouragement and those things that are coming up, if that's coming up, we can usually, it all goes back right to pride. We're feeling hurt because why? They've attacked at me. Why does that come from? Pride, self-love. And so we need to check our heart. If we're struggling with those attitudes, well, I'll just quit because I'm not appreciated, I just don't receive this praise, I'm being ridiculed, and whatever else goes on there, I'll just get out. Well, let's check our heart. Really, why am I serving? Why am I here? What is my responsibility, and what am I here for? I think, secondly, we need to look to Jesus. We check our heart. Is our heart right? And then we need to look to Jesus. You know, Jesus was despised, rejected, nailed to the cross, had that thorn of crowns pressed in to his skull. He was whipped. He was beaten. For why? For those that he loved. For those that he came and gave his life for were the ones that had turned against him. But yet he continued to serve all the way to the cross. He didn't give up. He didn't say, well, these are worthless rebels. It won't do any good to die on the cross for them. I'll just go back to my Father in glory. No, he went all the way to the cross for those that had rejected and turned their backs for him, and for you and me who had turned our backs on him. And how many times do we turn our backs on him when we serve for ourselves, when we serve to receive that acceptance and praise to our own selves? Hebrews 12, verse 1 to 3, as we look to Jesus, it says here that there's this great cloud of witnesses. It says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us." And what is that sin that so easily besets us? I think it's that self-love. I think it's that desire for importance, for recognition, for acceptance. We all want it. It's just there. And that sin can so easily beset us. It can so easily trip us up. And the work that we are doing, the service that we are giving, can go to naught. It becomes worthless. Because we've lost our focus and our love for God and for his people. Jesus was despised and rejected by those he loved. Yet he continued on to the cross because of his love for us. And it says, so let's not let this sin easily beset us, but let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your own mind. So look to Jesus. Don't faint. Don't give up. But keep on serving in love for one another. Jesus did for you. Can't you do that for his people? For his creation? He loved you. Can we then love others with that same love? So I believe we must keep our focus on whom we are serving and why. And why are we serving is because he loved us. He first loved us. And we love him because of his love for us. And so I think we just need to, as we serve, we need to continually be reminding and focusing upon the love of God for us. Remembering that he so loved us that he gave his only begotten son. He gave the very best that he had that we could be saved and be one of his children. Be adopted into his family. In Ephesians it says we need to remember that we at one time were lost and without hope. There was no way back into the presence of God, but Jesus, but Christ came and redeemed us. And so we need to remember that. When I am truly struck by God's love for me, then I will be motivated to love others and serve them as God or as Christ served us. And I like to think of Moses. I see my time is going on here fast, but in Exodus 32, 31 to 33, when I was facing some difficult times in our church life, and I was tempted, I was being tempted to feel sorry for myself and just to give up. You know, if they don't appreciate it, well, I don't have to be a minister. I don't have to serve. I can be a good lay member. I can sit on that bench and just be happy. Why should I keep going? And that one night when I was struggling, God took me to this book of Exodus. And I looked there at Moses, and this man gave his life. He gave everything. He was to be the next prince and ruler of Egypt, but he chose to suffer with his brethren. And he took them out into that desert as God led him. He led them, he got them delivered from the bondage of Egypt, only to receive continual complaining and ridicule and criticism. And they even went so far when he was up onto the mount that they went and got their gold and silver together and they made this calf and he said, "This be the gods that, this is the God that led us out of Egypt." And Moses come down and he was angry, but it wasn't out of an angry because they turned and rejected him. But it was an anger because they turned their backs on the God that delivered them. And he went up on that mountain and he stood before God and he said, "They've done a great sin. They've done a great sin. But God, if you can't forgive them, just take my name out of the book of life. I'll give my life. I'll give eternal life with you. If these people could be saved, do we have that kind of love and a concern for those we serve?" That divine love, the love of God that he had for you and me, we need to keep that fresh in our life and love one another as Christ has loved us. I think we need to remember who we're working for. There's another point that I have in Colossians 3, 23 to 24. "And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Jesus Christ." Dear brothers and sisters, you're not working for your brethren. You are doing this work for the Lord Jesus Christ, your Lord and your Master, the one that saved you from your sins, the one that died on the cross for you, the one that is preparing a place in glory for you. That's who you're working for. Keep that in mind. And then every day, every board meeting, every parent-teachers meeting, every responsibility that you have to do, remember it's for the Lord and not for men. I had a brother in Phoenix when we lived down there. I'll just say his name, Brother Harvey Bowman. He worked there. He had a tractor and he did tractor work. He would go out and do lot cleanups, and he said some of those lots he got into were so dirty. I mean, it was just a dog manure. The trees are all overgrown. It's dusty and dirty, and he'd have all kinds of junk he had to remove from the lots, whatever it was. A lot of hard, dusty, dirty work. And he said he'd come to those jobs, and his flesh wanted to pull back. He didn't want to do the job, but he said he wasn't even had it on his tractor. I believe he had a little sticker on his tractor to remind him, "I'm doing this for my Lord. This is his property. And so I'm going to do the best job I can do because it's for Jesus." You know, if we can keep that in our mind and that we're doing it for Jesus, not for us, not for our glory. It's not about me. It's all about Jesus for what he's done for me. You know what? That makes it so easy. It gives us such liberty, and it gives us such freedom to serve. We can serve better. We can serve one another better when we're not working for them or for me, you know, that praise and glory that I might get or whatever. But we remember we're working for the Lord. This is his work, and we're doing it for his glory. And out of our love for him is why we're doing it. So then the blessing of serving one another in love, is, you know, I've told my children this, and maybe you have too, but sometimes when they didn't want to do something, I said, "Well, you don't have to if you want to." "Well, then I want to." I said, "Okay, go, and you can do it." "But you don't have to if you want to." And so try to get that concept across to them. You know, it's right back to our attitude in our heart. Do we really desire to serve God and is it out of love? Well, then it's not a have to. It's an enjoyment. It's a pleasure to serve our Lord and to do our best for him. I want to do this. I want to serve. I want to give my all because I love my Lord and Savior with all of my heart. And that's why I want to serve and obey him for all that he's done for me. And then another blessing is to hear that final welcome. Oh, to hear that welcome when Jesus opens his arms and says, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord." You know, I hope that's why we're all serving today. It's out of our love for the Lord Jesus Christ and our fellow men, and then to be able to just to hear God say, "Well done. Come on in. Well done. You've been a good and faithful servant. Come into and enjoy the things that I have prepared for you." So, dear brothers and sisters, this afternoon, remember, you are loved by God. He gave His all for you. Now go and serve one another or serve others with love. May God bless you.